Next, we have the story of a man with a foot in two worlds. His name is Eric Liu. He is a former presidential speechwriter who served President Bill Clinton. He's American-born to parents who were Chinese immigrants, and now he's a father himself. He's been thinking a lot about what it means to be Chinese-American, what it means to receive that legacy, what it means to pass it on. He calls his new book, A Chinaman's Chance. With that title, Eric Liu takes control of an old and prejudiced saying. His Chinese father used it all the time.
By the time I came along and was a kid, it became practice in our household for him just to use this phrase in this sort of devilish, ironic way. If the Yankees were down by five in the ninth inning, oh, they've got a Chinaman's chance of winning this game. Or, you know, if we were trying to get to ShopRite before closing time, but we were still 10 minutes away, oh, you've got a Chinaman's chance of getting there on time. But what he taught me was wit can neuter malice, right?
When you grab that phrase, you own it, and then it can't hurt you the same way.
Exactly. And I think that's the bigger lesson of just how any American can take words, language that are meant to be used to hurt them, and claim them in ways that change their meaning and context.
Now, let's make sure people know your family history. Your father was an immigrant from China, is that right?
That's right.
And your mother also?
My mother as well, yep.
Okay, and you were born in the United States.
I was born in the U.S.
And you now have a teenage daughter.
I do.
And so you've had an opportunity to think about what it meant to be an American for your father, what it means to be an American for you and for your daughter. How does that change as you go from one generation to another?
Well, I actually would even extend it one generation further. My father's father, his name in Chinese is Liu Guoyun. Liu is my family name. Mm-hmm. And Guoyun translates roughly as deliverance of the nation. So, you know, a low-pressure name.
Yeah, sure.
And he grew up the son of a farmer in rural China and came of age at a time when dynastic rule was ending and the Republic of China was forming. And he felt in earnest that he did have to live up to that name. And
we're talking about before the communist era, before World War II, before all of that.
Exactly. And my grandfather joined the military. He worked with Americans to launch the Flying Tigers program.
Wow.
And so I heard all of these legends of my grandfather. Growing up, I would think to myself, as a Liu and as an American, what does it mean for me to deliver a nation? And which nation? It didn't take very long for me to realize this nation,
the United States.
This is where I've grown up. This is the place I know. And my sense of Americanness is complete. But the meaning of Americanness is completely infused by my Chineseness, right? And this is where, for my father and my mother as well, their notions of what it meant to claim this country had to do with just this question of how much do you hold on to? How much do you try to pass on? And our household was this real hybrid mix where my parents would speak about 80% Chinese and 20% English to me, and I would respond in reverse ratio.
Mm-hmm. I've noticed that in a lot of cultures. I mean, the word Spanglish is popularly known. You're talking about something a little different, though, aren't you? You're in Chinese for a little while. You're in English for a little while. You surf back to Chinese again.
Well, and that's right. And one of the ways in which Chineseness was passed on to me is just an appreciation for rhythm and the flow and the structure of language.
And
so much is understood by context. This awareness of the web of obligations that we are woven into, which you find in Chinese language, which you find in Chinese values, you find in Chinese ways of raising families, is, I think, actually something that the United States could use a giant corrective dose of right now. We are flying apart centrifugally in this age of radical inequality. We have less than ever to hold us together in a time of rapid demographic change. Paying attention a bit less to rugged individualism and a bit more to context and mutual obligation is something that I think Chinese Americans can bring to the table.
Right, I like that you say a bit less and a bit more, because, of course, we have the stereotype of Americans as individualists and the stereotype of Chinese as being more collective. But, of course, each stereotype could be true of the other as well.
You're right. Stereotypes can only take you so far. But at the same time, the United States, for all, you know, our provenance, is we were born out of a big bang against tyranny. And so everything in our language, everything in our politics proceeds from this sense of don't tread on me. And I think the way that that reverberates can be taken to extremes and can be unhealthy for any community, any society, just the same way that in China, an emphasis on relationship, obligation, the collective, so forth, that can be taken to an extreme as well. But here's the difference. The United States, in theory, retains this deep, enduring competitive advantage. America makes Chinese Americans. China does not make American Chinese. Here in the United States, it is the very point of our cultural operating system to take your forebears and my forebears and have us meld and mesh in ways that create diverse, complicated new hybrids. And be the testbed for the rest of the planet.
I want to use your delightful phrase, making Chinese Americans, because you went out and you became a dad. You made a Chinese American. What's that been like?
You know, it's been great in so many ways. The key word that you used earlier in terms of her identity and our relationship is not so much Chinese American, but teenager.
Mm-hmm.
As with any teenager, this sense that Olivia, my daughter right now, is finding and defining her own identity, in part recognizing what's been passed on and in part pushing against what's been passed on.
Sure.
And raising Olivia to understand and appreciate some of this Chinese cultural inheritance boils down in some ways to language. From the time she was little, I started taking her to a Chinese school on weekends. And, you know, I have a line in my book that says, you know, those who ignore Chinese school are doomed to repeat it.
There are at this point, I don't know how many million Chinese Americans in the United States. How do you think Chinese Americans have already changed this country?
Chinese Americans have been shaping and changing this culture from minute one. There are the obvious literal monuments to that, the Transcontinental Railroad.
Sure.
But if you just fast forward to our contemporary moment, we are a few months away from a new sitcom that will be airing on ABC called Fresh Off the Boat, based on the memoir by Eddie Huang, the restaurateur and celebrity chef in New York City. He wrote this memoir a few years back that described his very iconoclastic upbringing, defying all stereotypes. And to me, the larger point is that Chinese Americans are changing our picture of who an American is. And when you have shows like Fresh Off the Boat on network TV, when you have people like my friend and mentor Gary Locke, our former ambassador to the United States, who literally represent the United States and the rest of the world, our picture of who is us begins to change. And it no longer becomes as often the case that Chinese Americans or Asian Americans in general are to be presumed foreign until proven otherwise.
Yeah.
My goal and the point of this book is to say we should be presumed American, and then our job is to prove it.
Eric Liu is the author of A Chinaman's Chance. Thanks for coming by.
Thank you so much, Steve.
It's Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Steve Inskeep.
And I'm David Greene.